fear is part of manhood. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but in Eagle Point, Arizona, there is this feature called the Grand Canyon Skywalk. And it is a balcony that stretches out about 70 feet over the Grand Canyon, and you can walk out on this balcony and you can look down 4,717 feet to the canyon floor. It's 345 stories drop down to the canyon floor. This balcony is made of steel, 1 million pounds of steel. It could hold 70 fully loaded 747s. I mean, this thing is solid. It could withstand 100-mile-an-hour hurricane force wind. But despite the safety of this incredible balcony, people will not go out on it. About 75% of people will not walk out on the Grand Canyon Skywalk because the floor of the Grand Canyon Skywalk is made of glass. And when you walk out over the canyon edge, 70 feet away from the wall of the canyon, you're looking down through the floor, 345 stories to the floor below. And so if you're like me, I suffer from agoraphobia. Agoraphobia, which is, right? Fear of heights. So acrophobia is fear of heights. So I don't like high stuff. I don't even like glass elevators. We just stayed in New York a couple weeks ago, and we were at a hotel that had a glass elevator, and I would literally go around the corner to the non-glass one and hit that button because I didn't want to go up the glass elevator. So let's talk about some other fears we may have. I'm going to name a fear, and I want you to tell me what the fear is. Ablutophobia. Does anyone know what ablutophobia is? That's fear of bathing. Fear of bathing. Anthrophobia. Fear of flowers. Fear of flowers. Chromatophobia. That is fear of spending money. I'm trying to instill that fear in my children. Koinonophobia. That's fear of being in a room. This is a very common one. Majericophobia. That is fear of cooking. And so some nights we'll be there and I'll look at that stove and I'll be like, honey, majericophobia, let's go out to eat. Ombrophobia, fear of rain. Papyrophobia. Good guess, fear of paper. Trichophobia, this is a very common phobia in this room. Trichophobia, fear of hair. I suffer from trichophobia. Zoogeraphobia, fear of vacuum cleaners. So these are all real phobias people have. About 2 or 3% of the population suffer from each of these. I'm up here in part because of glossophobia. 75% of the people in this room suffer from glossophobia, which is fear of public speaking. So fear is an interesting mental state. It can stop us as men. It can paralyze us as leaders and keep us from moving forward, but it can also protect us, right? It can shield us from harm. Fear can be both positive and negative. But which is it and when? And so today we're going to see what the Bible has to say about fear. Here's a couple things about fear that we know. First of all, fear begins in the garden. Fear begins in the Garden of Eden. Before the garden, there was no fear. Adam and Eve sin, and the result is fear. Genesis 3:8-10. Then the man and his wife, they've eaten the fruit, and they realize they're naked. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But God called and said to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard from you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." That's the first time afraid is mentioned in history. So there was no fear before the garden. Now all of a sudden there is fear. There's fear. And what happens through the rest of Scripture is that we have this conflicting instruction on fear. We go back and forth on fear. Sometimes fear is good and sometimes it's not. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And then Luke 1:50, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. So what is it? Which is it? Do we fear or do we not fear? Or what do we fear? It's this crazy schizophrenic view of fear here. What do we do with respect to fear? And nowhere is this more clear than Moses in Exodus. So he's up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and there's clouds covering Mount Sinai, and the earth is literally shaking, and there's lightning crashing down, there's thunder, and everybody down on the ground is absolutely terrified. The presence of God is right there, and they can see it, and they are unbelievably afraid. So Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. So this is Moses. Hey, don't be afraid. Just be very, very afraid. Right? So it just, literally in one verse, it's like, don't fear except fear. So what's the deal here? So we're gonna talk a little bit about fear today. What should be our fear, our view of fear? The words fear not appears 302 times in the Bible. So I'll make two points. The first is we don't have anything to fear. We don't have anything to fear. This is always directed, fear not is always directed toward our relationships with fellow man. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. From other men, we have nothing to fear. Now, today you may have a fear of a deal not going through, or you might have a relationship in jeopardy. You may fear what somebody thinks about you. You may fear the actions of another party that you're dealing with. You may fear your brother or your boss or your banker or your wife. You may fear the consequences of being faithful to God in your life and workplace, right? You may have a fear of that. You may fear something in the world that's a threat or a difficulty or a challenge or a crisis, but God tells us of these things, there is nothing to fear. In fact, John 16:33 reminds us, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. So men, we have nothing to fear. But the second point is also true. We have everything to fear. We have everything to fear. Now we get to the heart of it, because God is teaching us in the Bible that there's such a thing as a healthy fear. You know, there's a difference between being afraid and having fear. There's a difference between being afraid and having fear. The fear of the Lord phrase is mentioned 134 times in the Bible. And what God wants us to learn as leaders is if we develop a healthy fear of God, then we don't need to fear anything that the world will throw at us. The fear of God, what is that? Well, it's this awe and reverence and deep respect. It's more than a feeling. It's demonstrated through our actions. So out of respect and awe and humility before God, we live our lives in such a way as to demonstrate that. We express gratitude to Him. We run every facet of our lives through a God filter, determine if it's pleasing to Him or not. We approach God with humility. We speak of Him reverently. We treat His Word, the Bible, with respects. And the Bible tells us to develop this fear, the fear of the Lord. And when we do this, here's the cool thing. The Bible is saying, let me tell you what happens to you when you have a healthy fear of the Lord. First of all, fear of God makes life go well. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and descendants forever. Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that they would fear me so that their lives would go well. Fear of God results in His compassion. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. Psalm 103:13. Fear of God gives us confidence. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence and his children have refuge. Proverbs 14:26. Fear of God results in His blessing. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. Fear of God keeps us from sin. Moses said to people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of Him may be before you, that you may not sin." Fear of the Lord makes us holy, set apart. Since we have these promises, beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Fear of God makes Him our friend. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him. Isn't that interesting? The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him. And He makes known to them His covenant. Fear of God leads to life. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. Proverbs 19:23. So we see this picture of fear as it's intended. Not fearing one another and what we can do to each other and what the world has, but developing a healthy reverence and respect and, yes, fear of God. It gives us benefits in our life and work. A healthy fear of God means we need not fear anything that others can throw at us. Of these things, God says of those who fear Him, fear not. There's no doubt some of you come today with some fears. I mean, we all fear something or someone, right? But here's the important question to ask as leaders. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? Are we being afraid or do we have fear? Are we afraid or do we have fear? There's a difference. Walk in the fear of the Lord, and there's no reason to walk in the fear of anything else. You know, I told that Grand Canyon Skywalk story earlier about the glass floor, but my parents, when I was growing up, had a condo in Florida. And this condo was a place called Regency Towers. It was in Panama City Beach. It's still there. You know, it's old and decrepit now, but we were on the 14th floor, this condo. And every now and then we'd go down for a couple of days, you know, for like a weekend, because they rented it out to vacationers most of the time. And every time we'd go down there, I would be terrified, because when you got off the elevator on the 14th floor, there was this walkway. It was about 5 feet wide, and then the side out to the open air was this aluminum banister, and you know, when it was just slightly breezy, it shook and it sounded like it was about to fall off. And so you'd got off the elevator and it was like it was this walk down to the condo entrance, like 100 feet on this like little narrow like ledge sticking out from the front of this condo, and you know that banister wasn't going to hold anybody, and so literally I would get against the wall when I got off the elevator, and I would literally do this all the way to the condo. I was terrified of this. Once my dad asked me to take the trash to the trash chute, and I'm like, "So you want me to walk down to the trash chute on this little narrow thing, carrying a bag, and then drop it in this hole that's basically, you know, a hole straight down 14 stories to the ground?" I was like, I can't do it. So, you know, every time we went to the beach, I lived in terror of this walk back and forth to the condo. But something happened one time. We'd owned this thing a year or two, and my dad had some training down there, and we decided to stay at the condo for like 2 weeks. And something happened about day three or four, because now I was having to go up and down this thing every day for a week. And so we get there on a Saturday, but like Tuesday or Wednesday, all of a sudden, I'm not quite as terrified anymore. You know, that I hadn't died yet. the ledge had not fallen over. The balcony railing had held. And so I began to trust that this thing was going to hold me up, and I was not going to fall. And so by the end of the week, all of a sudden I'm looking over the edge, getting up on the banister. What happened? Well, this is the idea that confronting that fear, being engaged in that fear, it builds trust, right? After a while, I began to have a little bit of trust there that I wasn't going to, that the concrete was going to hold. The concrete that had been there for 30 years was going to hold another 3 or 4 days. And isn't this the way the fear of God is, right? Like, we fear God. That fear of God, that reverence and respect for God, that desire to please Him, it builds trust. It builds trust with God. Now, you probably don't have a banister story like that in your life, but you may have something where you say, you know what, I'm fearful of this today. I'm fearful of this today. And I would say, hand it over to God. Hand it over to God. Trust God with that. Fear the Lord and see what He might do with it. Let's pray. Well, Father, I thank You that You took the result of our sin, this fear that entered the world, and You are using it for Your glory, that You are helping us take this tool and learn more about You and what it means to love You and serve You through fear. God, remind us through Your word that as we learn how to fear You, we will grow in wisdom and knowledge and trust in You, and that as a result of that, we need not fear anything else that the world will throw at us. I pray this in Your name. Amen. I hope everyone has a great time at their table today. Good to see everyone this morning.